Hey, we're Joy and Becca. And anytime I meet someone who I want to be friends with, I tend to make it awkward, but I'm not going to do it this time. We want to hang out with you more. We do a live radio show every single weekday afternoon from 2 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
All you have to do is go to wayfm.com or download the WayFM app to listen. You can also follow us. We are so easy to find on Instagram and Facebook. Just search WayFM Afternoons.
The research shows that for healthy couples, they will handle conflict well one out of every three times.
Oh, that's healthy couples.
Holy moly. I feel so much better.
Welcome to the Holy Mess Podcast. If you think you are a mess, you are not alone. We talk about the things of life through a lens of faith and find the hope in all of it. And this week we are joined by Dr. Greg Smalley. He and his wife, Erin, both write about, speak about, and are passionate about building healthier marriages. And this week we're going to talk about some of the danger zones when it comes to divorce, the times in marriage where you're more likely to divorce, what you can do to safeguard your marriage in those times, and the purpose of a healing separation when it comes to marriage. Even if you're not married, I know there's going to be something in here for you, maybe if you have a friend who's struggling.
We got the article about the higher risk years of divorce for married couples, and I was freaked out because I'm in one of them. 5 to 7 years is very high risk for divorce, and I will say it's been some of the hardest years of our marriage, and I thought that was just due to having young kids. But can you expound on maybe why 5 to 7 is one of the toughest times?
Yeah, I think that's such a difficult time for couples because it takes about 5 to 7 years for just some poor patterns that maybe were formed early on in the marriage to really wreak havoc within the relationship. So let's say that all of a sudden we get busy working, raising kids, hobbies, we're doing all this other stuff, and we've neglected each other, and all of a sudden now we've drifted apart. Now we're feeling like married roommates, and loneliness sets in. And loneliness is the most difficult emotion within marriage.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is, you never thought to be married and alone. And so I think for a lot of couples, it's either that there has been some really poorly managed conflict that hasn't been dealt with, hasn't been repaired, and now that resentment is built, hearts have closed. It takes about 5 to 7 years, I think, to see a heart harden.
Ooh.
And so it's either that is going on, or we've just drifted so far apart that now we're just nothing more than married roommates, and that's not what they want within the relationship. And so I think those are the two biggies that I notice that really make that 5 to 7 years. Actually, 8 years is the average years married in the United States before divorce. And so 8 years, it all makes sense that if we can't work through issues and repair conflict, and if we just drift so far apart, it makes sense that people will hang in there about 5 to 7 years.
And we're going to get to some of the specifics on how to repair unique conflicts at different stages. But another thing that was kind of surprising was the fact that newlyweds also have a higher risk of divorce in those first couple of years, which I think is shocking to most people because that's supposed to be the honeymoon stage. You're supposed to be madly in love with each other. So is there a difference there than maybe the divorce reasons for the 5 to 8 year range?
Yeah, those first couple of years is filled with so much change. So many things can be happening, rather that's we've moved. We're just adjusting to all the different things that we have to learn about each other now that we're married. But I think that all that change creates so much stress. That stress leads to conflict. And all of a sudden, you've got a young couple who haven't really learned how to repair conflict. They then start managing that in really poor ways. And so for that young couple, if all of a sudden they're not able to work through the change and the frustration and whatever's going on within the relationship, I think they panic and go, well, this is always how it's going to be. And let's just cut bait early on.
Wow.
Which is so sad because what's going on is so typical. It takes a while to adjust. I was just talking to my daughter, Murphy, who just got married. So she's 3 months into her marriage. And that's exactly what we were talking about. She was just asking me some advice about a new job. And one of the opportunities, high stress, the other, pretty low stress. And I was saying, man, as you make that decision, err on the side of what would be the best for our marriage as we're going through all these change. Would a high-stress job make the most sense for this season of our marriage, or would the low-stress job? And I think that was helpful for her to go, you know, that's true. I just think that first year is so important as we establish patterns. We're teaching each other how to relate to one another. And it's such an important time that we need time to learn how to do that. And that's why if we get so busy working and have super stressful jobs, it just makes that adjustment that's much more difficult.
I think we're all jealous of Murphy because she has a marriage expert as a dad, and she can be like, Daddy said this, what do I do? And you can like go into the clinical, like, here's what's probably happening. So we would love to pick your brain too. Tell us, what are some of the ways to divorce proof your marriage? And if there's different ways in the beginning as opposed to when you're married longer, please break those down, because so many couples are ending in divorce. And honestly, in the very beginning of my marriage, I was like, I just can't fathom that. And the longer you're married and the longer you watch so many of your friends struggle and you struggle in your own marriage, you go, well, I understand why some people are out. But when we want to fight, help us fight.
Right. And I would say, first and foremost, learn how to repair conflict. I hate the term conflict resolution, because most of the conflict that we'll get into is what the researchers would call perpetual. In other words, you know, Aaron is an extrovert. Well, I'm an introvert. And so there's times that we get into a lot of conflict just around, you know, why do we have people over our house every night? Like, can we not have a break? Well, why? I love having people over. I mean, it's not that I'm going to wake up, you know, tomorrow and be more extroverted. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, it's going to create that. That is based on something that's perpetual. And so instead of making the goal to resolve conflict, we need to make the goal to simply repair it this morning. So something happened, I got up, I was exercising, I see Aaron, I just said, hey, how you doing? And I get a fine. And I went, oh, are you all right?
That's a smart man right there to note that the fine never means fine.
Exactly.
Way to go.
And so I said, I sense that there's something going on. And she was frustrated about something that had been happening in our marriage over the past couple of days. And so I simply said, well, it sounds like we need to repair this. And so I said, how about tonight? Let's sit down and actually repair this. But I'm telling you, here's what was such a relief in my own marriage. The research shows that for healthy couples, they will handle conflict well one out of every three times.
Oh, that's healthy couples.
That's the healthy. Yeah.
I feel so much better.
Healthy couples, right? Doesn't it? The point being is that even, you know, so Aaron and I, you know, we're most of the time, 66% of the time, we're going to mishandle our first attempt at repairing our conflict. And so probably we're going to do it well once out of the times that we're in conflict. But we just kind of go, you know what, it's okay. Let's just learn how to really repair. And all that means is that we come together with a goal to care, to understand, to I told Aaron, I texted her and I said, hey, I just want you to know you and how you feel matter to me. So let's figure this out. And yet I handled it really poorly when she first said that this morning. Mm-hmm. I was like, why did you wait? And I didn't have this. I feel blindsided. And why would you tell me this as I'm leaving to take Annie to school? And so I didn't handle it well in the beginning, but we'll repair that tonight. And so I think for that young couple, it's saying, you know what, we are going to disagree. We aren't probably going to handle this right most of the time. So let's make our goal to simply repair. I will, when I feel there's something going on with Erin, I will ask her, is there anything that I need to repair? And sometimes she'll say, nah, I'm just in a bad mood, or yeah, there is something. Okay, let's just sit down and do that. I think the other thing is really a commitment to having times that we're not administrating our marriage. In other words, it takes so much conversation to run a family, to manage a marriage. Who's going to pick up who? Who's going to the store?
Greg,
who's taking the car in for a repair?
It's my whole
right?
life. Look at my right. text with
That's
my husband. They're so lame.
Totally. Well, it requires that. So it's not that you can just stop talking about how to administrate your family. But what we have to understand is that that will ultimately monopolize our relationship, and that creates a drift. Because if I believe anytime Erin and I ever talk, we're just going to talk about, you know, work stuff and who needs to do what, we just quit talking and we lose sight of what's going on the inside of our spouse. And that's never, those kind of conversations will never happen on their own. And so the other thing that I would encourage couples to do is you've got to set aside 10 minutes every day to where you're just checking in and you're pursuing your spouse's inner life. You're rediscovering how they're doing. And Erin and I simply do that by just going, what was the high of your day and what was the low of your day? And we try to do that at the end of the day. Maybe we're laying in bed, kids are down, that kind of thing. But what it does is it keeps us current. Then I don't look and go, man, we haven't really had a conversation a month. Who are you? And I tell you, because
it's funny, but it's not funny.
Because we all do it,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
It's so easy to lose sight of our spouse, but the reality is those conversations, inner life conversations, how are you feeling, what's stressing you out, what are you dreaming about, that kind of stuff will never happen on its own. The administrating, that will happen on its own all day long because it takes a lot to run a family. I get it.
Yeah.
And so Erin and I just, we've targeted, all we need is 10 minutes a day. And it doesn't even have to be consecutive, so we could do a quick check-in in the morning, maybe at night. And that's how we keep current. And I tell you, you know, date nights are great and all that, but a marriage cannot survive from date night to date night, from vacation to vacation, from holiday to holiday. That stuff just can't make up for the disconnect we feel. And yet, all it takes is a simple just, find the 10 minutes every single day, and then we stay updated, and we're rediscovering each other. And I tell you what, that keeps Erin and I really connected. And then when we disconnect over an argument, we'll repair that. And I think those two things would go a long ways in helping us kind of battle through and divorce-proof our marriage.
I'm so grateful for the practical daily things, because I know even when I'm in a hard season, I find myself daydreaming if we could only get a date night and have fun,
right.
If we could only
right.
get a family vacation where the kid doesn't go crazy and we don't fight. You know, you think those things will
yeah.
fix it, but I'm grateful that you're saying it's so much simpler and it's daily habits. So something I would love to dig into is when you do sit down to try to repair instead of resolve. Do you guys have a process you use for that? I know I love your book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage.
Yeah.
So I know there's some techniques in there, but what would be a brief overview of how you guys go back and forth, or like what you'll do tonight to help repair?
Yeah, we start by just one person has to be the speaker and someone has to be the listener. And we'll call it out. Hey, this is a repair conversation. So, you know, Erin, you know, how about you be the speaker, let me be the listener. And what that does is it defines my role. And as a listener, all I'm trying to do is to hear her heart, hear the emotion, hear how she's been hurting, and lean into that and care about that and empathize around that. I don't have to solve how she feels. I don't have to look to a solution to make sure this doesn't happen again. None of that needs to take place. This is all about just simply caring. And the repair happens when Erin feels heard and understood, and that how she felt matters to me. I don't have to agree with it, but why can't I lean in and go, you know what? So you're saying you have felt, you know, invalid, that how you feel is that I don't value that, so you feel invalidated. You know, instead of arguing, debating if that's true or not, I can just say, well, tell me more. And then we switch places, and then I get to be the speaker. I'm focusing as the speaker on how I feel, not on giving my opinion or here's my perspective, but this is how I felt. And then she gets to care about how I felt. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, you know, we both have cared and we feel cared for. And again, if there needs to be a solution, we can figure that out down the road. But I think most couples miss the opportunity to make the goal first and foremost to care. And that just requires someone speaks first, someone listens, and then you switch places. And now we've reconnected just simply because we've cared. And, you know, Jesus, remember when he went to see Lazarus' family, remember the shortest verse in the Bible, what did he do? He wept with that family. Even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he spent time first just, you know, I love that quote that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And make that your guiding principle. I literally had printed off that little quote and had it next to my Bible. And so if we sat down, I would see that. And just to remember, that's right, all I need to do is care. And so when that happens, yeah, we've reconnected. And most of the time, we don't even need a solution.
I think this is such great advice for just that day, those daily check-ins, that regular maintenance that I think can get so missed in a marriage, especially if you've been married for any length of time.
Yeah.
I kind of want to just briefly, though, talk about the times when hearts are hardened. Things have gone down a road so far. And especially in Christian circles, I think, you know, we don't want a divorce. We have tried to divorce-proof our marriage, but things just aren't changing. Is there ever a place for separation with the intention of restoring a marriage?
Yeah, absolutely. In my wife, actually, she's a marriage therapist. She wrote a great article that I think I sent you guys the link.
Yes, oh, yeah. And we're gonna link to it in this the show notes of this podcast too, because it was such a great, like, longer breakdown for sure.
Perfect. Absolutely. There's times because here people, their hearts close when we don't feel safe. And so if there's something that's going on within the marriage to where maybe the way that we're trying to deal with conflict is very explosive, or something's going on to where there's been an addiction or there's been abuse in some way, it's very volatile. We felt so disconnected for so long that we need to reboot kind of the marriage system. I think in those ways, a healing separation, not just a separation, because oftentimes people separate as a kind of precursor to divorce.
Right. And I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of, that term, because that's usually what happens next.
Yeah, but if we call it a healing separation, in other words, we're being intentional. We're separating so that emotions can you know, relax and we can create some safety. And I always tell people, if I only had 1 hour with a couple, and all I would talk about with that couple is how to create a marriage that feels like the safest place on earth. And so I think when you agree that this is a healing separation, so we're intentional, and then you establish some guidelines, some what how are we going to behave and what are we going to do, and then make sure that we include a counselor in this time, so we're working towards growing and healing. But I think that healing separation can be so effective, because again, if it's felt so unsafe, my heart will never open. And so anything that we're trying to do, if my heart's not going to open, then we're not going to grow in our marriage, which is why the healing separation can really be such a valuable tool, as long as we don't do this on our own. So I would recruit a good prayer team, you know, some safe people who will keep this all in confidence and have them pray for your marriage, and absolutely get a good Christian counselor to begin to help you guys work through whatever needs to be repaired and healed in whatever growth areas that you guys need to address. I think when you do it that way, boy, the odds are that you really are going to create a marriage that you both are thrilled with, and you love the direction then that you're going. And that's how a healing separation can really benefit in the marriage.
I loved in her article too, which again we'll link in the show notes, that she talked about how individual work needs to be done as well, because that's it can't, you can't repair a marriage in the vacuum, especially if people aren't on the same page. So can you kind of speak to the role that individual counseling maybe plays in terms of repairing a marriage?
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, I'm the biggest proponent of marriage on the planet. I'm the biggest marriage champion, but God did not send Christ to die for marriage. He sent Christ to die for people. Mm-hmm. And that's why the people, the individuals, that's what's eternal. A marriage is not eternal. We won't be married in heaven. And that's why there has to be such a priority on the individuals in are we growing? Are we dealing with our baggage? Are we dealing with whatever issues have gotten in the way of us having then the kind of marriage that we both desire? But because we always tell people, there's any time you're dealing with a marriage, you're dealing with three things. You've got his stuff, her stuff, and then the relationship stuff. Mm-hmm. And all three have to matter. And oftentimes the priority really needs to be on the two individuals getting the help. And that begins to create safety. As a matter of fact, you know, we do something called Hope Restored, which is a marriage intensive. And we've seen probably 9,000 couples go through that over the years, 80% success rate. And I'm telling you, most of what goes on in the intensive is all around helping the individuals heal. Because, boy, when you can get hearts healing, hearts opened, then we can really address the marriage issues. But it's, you know, in math, two negatives equal positive. Well, that formula is not true for marriage. You know, two negative, wounded, hurting people will never create a positive, healthy marriage. And that's why the priority often is when we do a healing separation is let's first and foremost get help as individuals and then build on that by then working on the marriage when things begin to feel safer.
That's so helpful, Greg, because we know that the odds are someone's listening to this who is in a really tough spot and feels like, will my marriage survive? And what are we going to do? And that there are options before you call it quits, or, you know, if your partner's not super willing, that you guys have things like intensives, you have books to read, individual counseling is still beneficial. And we know prayer is such a huge part of this as you try to walk through something that's so hard that involves two sinful people coming together trying to live for Jesus. And so thank you for helping us try to divorce-proof our marriages today, Greg. These tools are so helpful. And I, no joke, took notes. And Becca was laughing because she would say things and my face was like, oh, that's me.
Her eyes were so wide at certain points.
I was like, oh, that's so
good. I got to write that down.
That's so good. So this is a podcast that needs a pen and paper as people listen to it. So thank you so much, Greg.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always great to be with you guys. And I love that you both have such a heart for marriage. So thanks for modeling growing first in life and becoming healthier as individuals. I love that.
Thank you so much for listening. If you got something out of this episode, we would love if you would share it with a friend. To be notified every time there's a new episode, simply text the word MESS, M-E-S-S, to 91979. And if you have anything you want to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at holymess@wayfm.com. Thanks for being a part of our messy family.